What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and lucky enough today to be joined by one of the original members of the show, John Kegley. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination. We've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons. We also do our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. But this is our third season as the hosts of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we have a super fun Friday show packed for you guys today. We're going to be starting with a bunch of little news coming from the NFL. We got some insight into what it will look like and how many fans we could see at stadiums and how they will decide which teams will let fans in. We also got to look at some ways that the NFL is going to try to make up some of the revenue of not having as many fans. And we also just got an update on when the Chargers will be back in camp as things stand right now. And then in the second segment, we're going to be getting into a list of LT's five best teammates, his five favorite teammates. He gave actually six players, but two are tied for fifth place. So he had a lot of good players on there, a lot of good stuff he had to say about them, getting into in the second segment. And then to wrap up the show today, we're going to be talking about a few different lists. Some disrespectful lists, some good lists. So we have Bucky Brooks, top five wide receivers and one Chargers. You can probably guess who that is, made the list. I thought that was high praise. And we had a list of the top safeties in the NFL, and of course, Derwin James gets, you know, underrated, and then the top corners in the NFL, where one Chargers corner makes it and another one gets left off. So let's go ahead and get into it. This week in the NFL, we got some insight into what the attendance policies will be for different stadiums, when the teams will end up reporting to training camp, and also how the NFL will be able to make up some of their lost revenue. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. According to The Athletic's Daniel Kaplan, the attendance policy for the NFL will depend on the stadium. A source reportedly told him attendance will be state by state, county by county. It will not be a one-size-fits-all situation. So this is very important because there are many factors that go into if certain teams are allowed to bring back fans and certain teams are not allowed to. And we've seen just with everything going on with the coronavirus, how different things can be handled state to state. This report has also said that the NFL has discussed closing the door, but is aiming to welcome fans in so they avoid losing billions of dollars. So David, I understand that not every stadium can let the same amount of people in, but that is going to bring up some problems of its own.
It absolutely is. I mean, how can exactly can you make sure that things stay fair and that other teams don't have unfair advantages that some teams are not going to be able to enjoy? So the NFL, I think, is taking a very smart, pragmatic approach to this by kind of going hands off and letting each state and county handle how attendance is going to be taken care of at each stadium. That way the NFL says, hey, I have no oversight. I have no ability to control this, which in actuality they do not. I think this was just the best approach. They're going to have to figure out how to normalize it, how to make sure that no team has such an unfair advantage compared to another. But obviously that is something that they are going to have to work out. One part of good news, though, is that according to NFL EVP Jeff Pasch said that teams have been advised that training camps are expected to open on the normal schedule and they're going to see their first game action within about 47 games. Daniel, that is really, really, really quick.
It is very quick, and we do not know what the preseason slate is going to look like for the NFL yet. There have been rumors that it will be two games as opposed to the normal four games that we are used to seeing. But that is a big thing that right now they are saying things are on track to get started as usual. And for the Chargers, the 47-day mark for them will be July 28th. So that's when you can expect to see them. And everything right now for the NFL is chugging along according to plan. But as we have seen with many different sports leagues, and I think as we will see as more sports leagues open up, is you have to be ready for the setbacks. So obviously, many things can change from right now as we're saying this until July 28th. But As of now, they are going full steam ahead and everything should start when it would normally start. And every team will start that 47 days exactly before, so that way they can even it out. But the other thing that we found out this week is one of the ways that the NFL is going to try to recoup some of the money that they're going to lose with the fans. And that is to sell sponsorships on some of the first rows. The NFL will try to recoup some of the money they are going to lose in revenue because of the lost fans. Adam Schefter reported that the NFL owners have approved a proposal today to cover the seats closest to the field, then place sponsor logos over the over those seat coverings. So, David, we wondered how the NFL would try to make some more money to kind of cancel out some of their losses, and especially for team. Especially since the salary cap is linked to the revenue, this is another step in the right direction, another way that the NFL can try to minimize their losses.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the NFL is a big mega business that has a lot of media presence and a lot of sponsorships. And the NFL right now is trying to lean on some of those sponsorships to help them stay afloat so they don't lose, according to Daniel Kaplan of The Athletic, close to $3 billion if the regular season and playoffs are played in front of empty seats. So there, according to Ben Fisher, SBJ, the first 6 to 8 rows of every stadium is going to be allowed to sell TV visible advertising to local sponsors. This was definitely a great way that a bunch of smart men, of course, NFL owners, came together and said, hey, how can we get some more money? How can we offset some of the losses we're absolutely going to incur during the season when we don't see as many ticket sales as we normally will? And I think this is an ingenious way to get some of that money back that they're definitely ultimately going to lose out on when a lot fewer people are in the stadiums than a normal NFL year.
And you wonder what that means if fans are allowed to come back for the people that own those season tickets in certain stadiums. And obviously for NFL teams, the first 8 rows of the Cowboys Stadium is going to probably sell for a lot more than the Chargers, but the league revenue as a whole is what usually affects the salary cap. So it is a step in the right direction. It is a step to not have to see monumental economical changes in the 2021 season. So if there's one thing that NFL owners love to do, it's make money. And this is just another way that they've tried to come up with outside of their TV sponsorships, which is where they make the most of their money. So having the games on TV and now advertising in your stadium on TV is going to be the way the NFL does it. But we do have 2 more segments to get into. We're going to talk about LT's 5 favorite teammates before getting into some top 5 and top 10 lists at the end of the show. But first, I need to tell you guys about something that has happened to probably all of us, and that is trying to fix your car and not knowing if you're getting the best price on the parts to fix your car. And I can change all of that for you guys because I'll give you the best tip you can get, which is go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And the best part is you don't have to worry about finding it at a traditional chain storefront. They will have the part that you need. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, guys, well, we are going to be doing a segment, something that me and David Drugmeyer actually talked about a little bit yesterday for our Google News initiative. Basically, if you have a Google smart device and ask them what's the news, if you're a Charger fan, looking up Chargers things, it should play you a 5 or 1 minute snippet of something that we've recorded for that day. But we didn't get to talk about it with the main show, and that is LT's 5 favorite teammates. So first, of course, this is John Kegley's specialty. This is John Kegley's favorite player of all time, somebody he has a tattoo of on his body. So John, when you looked at this list and saw the guys who made the team, what was your first thought?
My first thought was, how is Rodney Harrison on this list? Like, please explain this to me. This is a guy who was with the Chargers a very short time and then went to the Patriots, which is a team LT despised after the 06 game with how little class they showed. He was also considered one of the dirtiest players in the league, and you have him tied with Lorenzo Neal, who is basically your life insurance throughout your whole season. Like, the offensive line is one thing, but Lorenzo Neal paved the way for LT to get a lot of those big runs with how well he was able to go through a hole and block a linebacker, and was the guy that did your Hall of Fame induction. But yet he's tied with Ronnie Harrison. I'm so confused with this.
Yeah, I definitely question that too. And we're talking about a list, so I should probably tell you what the list was. He was tied with Rodney Harrison, Lorenzo Neal, and Rodney Harrison at five. He had two number fives, which is a cop-out when you're giving your top five. And I think he just went with, you know, picking an all-time great there. He talked about how motivational he was and how much, you know, he always tried to get people to try harder and kind of picked at them so they would push themselves a little bit farther. But with Lorenzo Neal, I mean, I think fifth is a little bit of disrespect, but to fill out the rest of the list, Phillip Rivers comes fourth on the list. Antonio Gates comes in third. Drew Brees comes in second, which was a little surprising. And then number one was Junior Seau, who he only played 2 years with, which we'll get to. But sticking with the Lorenzo Neal thing, he had one of my favorite quotes. First of all, he talked about that even Ray Lewis didn't want any of that smoke from Lorenzo Neal. He said he never saw Ray Lewis avoid anyone's contact except for the times the Chargers ended up playing the Ravens. But my favorite quote from that one was, he said he could always imagine, even right now, what Lorenzo Neal would come up and say to him before they would end up starting a play. And what he said was, Neal would turn around and say, "Get on my hip and don't dip, daddy, let's go." I mean, that's just one of the funniest things I could even think of, especially for Lorenzo Neal, who was such a big, tough guy. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to get in the way of that guy. But David, it was a little bit surprising to see Phillip Rivers, LT's, you know, longest tenured quarterback, come in higher on the list than Drew Brees. Phillip Rivers comes in fourth on the list. Drew Brees comes in second. That part was a little surprising, but I think he explained it well.
Yeah, he did explain it well, but still, I don't really understand it. I mean, he spent most of his year, his playing years, with Phillip Rivers as his quarterback, as the guy that was handing the ball off to him more than anyone else. So I didn't quite understand it, to be honest. But he had some great things to say about Phillip. He said Phillip is 100% authentic. He's a guy that you know who you're going to get every single day. He is very much the same player, and that was what made him such a compelling leader, is that everybody could trust that Phillip Rivers was going to come into the door and he was going to be the same guy day in and day out. He also said that he spent a lot of time getting to know his teammates and not just the offensive players. On any given day, you could find Rivers playing dominoes in the locker room or calling guys out to try to beat him. He has ways of connecting with people. There's no doubt that his new teammates in Indianapolis will love playing with him. So obviously he had high praise, and he said on the field, you know what you're going to get. He's an incredible competitor. We've all seen that throughout Phillip Rivers' career with the Chargers. We know that he's definitely, Daniel, the type of player you love to root for and you absolutely love to hate.
You got to remember when LT was frustrated with Rivers too. There's so many times on the film where you see LT just walking away from Rivers when Rivers comes to the bench. Rivers also had a lot of bad times with LT as well, so I can understand why Rivers is ranked lower than Drew Brees on this list, because I think LT also saw the less classy side of Rivers, if you will, with all the trash talking, and Rivers didn't like that. LT didn't really like the trash talking that Rivers did, and he explained that before, so I think that's why he comes down lower on the list.
I don't even think it's that as much as it is just like, he came into the league with Drew Brees, and that's what he said in his statement. I mean, these are two guys that they were both first-round picks for the Chargers in the same season, right? So, like, if you get picked at the same time, you're like, hey, look at us. This is the running back quarterback duo that's going to dominate for the Chargers for the next 20 years, right? So I think when that happens, I mean, I think back to my high school career. I grew up with the same quarterback going through high school, and then our senior year, they wanted to bring up a sophomore to play quarterback. And we were like, why would we want to play this young guy? Play the senior. You know what I mean? Play the guy who's been here. Play the guy who's been out there and won you games, right? And that's what LT had with Drew Brees. And they decided, hey, even though this guy's been here, even though we drafted him with LT to make that pair, we want to give this other guy a shot, our first round pick a shot. And they kicked out, you know, the one guy he started his career with. And I think the first guy is always going to hold a special part in your heart. But talking about a special part in your heart, I think one of the surprises on this list, while it's not a super surprise, is the fact that Junior Seau comes in at number one, only because LT and Junior Seau only played two seasons together. But John, I think that just really speaks to the volume of the type of person and player that Junior Seau was, being able to get along with people so well while still being able to hold them accountable too, and just what an impact he was able to make in just those two seasons to come in number one in this list.
I wasn't surprised at all. I expected it. When I first saw the list, I said, I bet you Seau is number one. And this is due to all the times I've heard LT talk about Seau. Even when Seau died and they had the celebration of life and LT spoke at it, you can already tell just how much Seau meant to LT's career and everything that LT has done. He learned from Seau. There was times LT talked about when LT went like 50% speed during practice one time and Seau came in and just knocked LT on the floor and was like, bro, you don't go 50% ever again. You're going to go 100% ever since LT wanted to compete with that and lived up to it. Seau basically was the guy that set up LT to be the competitor and the hard worker that he was. It might have been only 2 years, but it's like when people say you can't measure life by how long you live. It's how good you live those years. And it's kind of the same thing with Seau. Those years LT had with Seau were beneficial to LT's career more than any other teammate he had.
Yeah, they do say that the brightest stars end up lasting the shortest, right? I mean, they shine brighter, but they don't shine for as long. And I think that really kind of sums up Seau. And I think that's, you know, one thing, especially as a running back picked in the first round like LT was, as highly as he was picked, he's been the best player on every team he's ever been on for the most part, right? So you need that kind of reality check coming into the league as a rookie and for someone to hold you accountable. But the person holding you accountable has to also lead by example, right? And they have to be doing things the right way, because if you're not doing things the right way, how is anyone going to take you seriously when you're telling them to do it? But the last thing I want to get to in this list, and the only guy we haven't talked about specifically, was LT's longest tenured teammate, his sidekick, as he puts it, Antonio Gates, comes in on third on this list. And what he said was, you know, basically they needed each other. As a running back, he didn't want the other team to stack the box defensively and make it tougher for him. So to have a receiving threat like Antonio Gates open things up, and people having to account for LT opened things up for Gates. So it definitely worked hand in hand, David. But no surprise to see, you know, guys who were on the same team from 2003 to 2009 coming up on this list.
Oh, not at all. And I mean, I think you look at who was the other big offensive icon during that time. And of course, if you say anyone other than Antonio Gates, it's probably the wrong answer. Antonio Gates back in that time was absolutely dominant. LT basically said in his article that Gates used the first sport that he mastered, which was basketball, to great success in football, where he did not. His incredible ability to shake and bake and lose defenders and box out defenders and score touchdowns was something that he had was so astonished by that he had never seen before. He also gave credit to Antonio Gates for being a great tenacious blocker, which is not something that I have seen many people say throughout his career. Obviously, we all know his pedigree as a legendary pass-catching tight end, but there's not many people out there that have said anything of real positive note about his run blocking. So I thought that was a very interesting tidbit when talking about the great Antonio Gates.
And future Hall of Famer Antonio Gates. And I think that is an underappreciated aspect of his game. I mean, it definitely wasn't the main part of his game, but to be a very good tight end in the National Football League, that's going to come with times where you're going to have to be on the end of the line of scrimmage and block. But just the funny thing about him was there was times when he shook people, you know, out of their shoes and sent defenders going the wrong direction, but it wasn't even necessary, right? I mean, the connection that he had with Phillip Rivers, the number one tandem from quarterback to tight end, touchdown duo in NFL history, Phillip Rivers, all he had to do was put it in the right spot. Gates didn't have to be open. It just goes back to that old cliche, like a perfect throw beats perfect defense. That was always the case with Antonio Gates. It didn't even have to be a perfect throw so many times when he's, you know, making circus catches in the end zone. But we've never really seen red zone threats like that for the Chargers in their recent history like they did with Antonio Gates, one of the most prolific players to ever do it. But to see the kind of relationship those two guys had, it's one of those things where you watch them on TV and you're like, I feel like those guys are best friends. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. But it is nice to see in this case, looking at those guys, I mean, you really believe it, and he's backing it up by putting him on this list. I don't think he's just doing it to do it. I really do think those two guys were very, very close. So LT's been talking a lot these last couple weeks. Keep it coming, LT. We will take the content, and I mean, you just don't hear this from former players. I mean, because think about how many guys that LT left out of this list, right? I mean, a ton of guys he couldn't get to on a top five list, and he still did it anyway, so much respect to him there. But we do have one more segment to get into. We're going to be talking about the top 10 safeties and corners in the NFL and the top 5 receivers in the NFL coming up right after this. But first, I have to tell you guys, if you're hungry, the best thing you could be eating right now is a Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bars are all 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and Built Bar is great for health-conscious guys if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com. We can even save you some money because when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the last segment of the week, and we have a bunch of lists to talk about, and as always, we'll be talking about the Chargers getting disrespected on some of them, but, I mean, there was some respect shown on these lists, so let's start with the big one. Let's start with cornerbacks, because there was a big omission from the cornerback list, and corners, it's a hard list to make, because there's a lot of really, really good corners. I mean, obviously, the Chargers have a couple of them themselves, but this list was done by Patrick Walker of CBS Sports, and it's the top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL going into the 2020 season. So, number one, no surprise, Stephon Gilmore. Two, Marcus Peters. Three, Joe Hayden. Four, Jalen Ramsey. Patrick Peterson, Byron Jones, Tre'Davious White, Xavier Howard. Chris Harris Jr. comes in at 9, and Marshon Lattimore comes in at 10. So, obviously, when you look at this list, David, there's one big name missing, and that is Casey Hayward Jr.
Yeah, honestly, I like the fact that they got a Charger on here, but I think they got the wrong one. I mean, no disrespect to Chris Harris Jr., but last year he did not have one of his better years of his career. It was probably one of his most down years that he had in his illustrious 9-year career up to this point. Casey Hayward just been business as usual. Ever since he has put a Chargers uniform on, he has been silently one of the most prolific cornerbacks in the NFL, and he just has not gotten the respect that he deserves. And this is just yet another example of Casey Hayward getting slept on, and I frankly just do not understand why.
And I think if you're talking about a list and you're arguing with who are you going to take off of this list, I think this list is just kind of a crazy order. First of all, you're never going to convince me that Marcus Peters is a top two cornerback in the league. If you can convince me that he's a top two cornerback with ball skills and, you know, having the ball in his hand and picking off passes, but top two corner in the league, I think, is a stretch. Joe Hayden, I have huge respect for, but at this point in their careers, I mean, I don't see how Joe Hayden could be third. Casey Hayward doesn't show up on the list, but just to give you a little example of Casey Hayward versus Marcus Peters, there's lots of stats you can look at, and he was much better with Baltimore last year. But if you look at the last 2 years for each of these guys, in the last two seasons, Casey Hayward Jr. has allowed 894 passing yards and 7 touchdowns. In the last two seasons for Marcus Peters, he's allowed 1,376 yards and 12 touchdowns. So the yards per
big difference.
Yeah, that's a pretty big difference. Obviously, Casey Hayward doesn't get targeted as much, and I think that's what, you know, kind of takes away from some of his stats. And I think even he knows he could have played better last year with a couple of plays here and there, but this guy's been doing it for so long, there's no reason for us to believe that it's going to drop off. So I think there's definitely a case for him to make this list. Let's get to the next list. This one is safeties, and Derwin James makes the list, but he comes in at number 8. So in my opinion, in my humble opinion, non-biased 100%, I think Derwin James is a top 3 safety in the league. And can you say you want to see it more, John? Of course. It's been a year and then a little bit. It wasn't even a half season. A year and 6 games that we've got to see from Derwin James. But I just think if you know, you know. And Tyrann Mathieu comes first. Minkah Fitzpatrick coming off a stellar year. Jamal Adams, Harrison Smith, Anthony Harris, Justin Simmons, Devin McCourty, then Derwin James, followed by Kevin Byard and Earl Thomas. So when you look at that, John, are you thinking that Derwin James is getting disrespected, or do you think it's a situation where you don't know who you would necessarily put him ahead of on that list?
I think it's more of the fact that he was injured last year and you didn't get to see a big enough sample size last year to know where to put him. If you base this off of his first year, you're thinking this guy is easily top 5, top 3, but then after the injury, it's like, okay, is he still there? He still looked pretty good in those few games he did play, but is he still up there? If you're talking just talent-wise, he's definitely a top 3. I think you look at this, it should be Jamal Adams, number 1, and then you could probably put Tyrann Mathieu and Derwin James 2 and 3, depending on which side you look at. But due to the injury history last year, missing all those games. It's really tough to say if he's still top three. You need more of a sample size. But the fact they at least put him top 10, I think, is showing respect. Whereas there's other Chargers you've seen. They get injured once, and also they're not on the list anymore, even though they come back and they have a great year.
I have a huge problem with Justin Simmons and Devin McCourty being ranked above Derwin James. I'm sorry, man, but he does absolutely everything well on the football field, and Justin Simmons has shown flashes. He's a pretty good coverage safety, but Derwin James does everything well. It's not just one aspect. It's every aspect. Anything you ask him to do, he excels at it, and those are the names right there that just give me the biggest pause.
I mean, I like Harrison Smith a lot, too, but I would rather have Derwin James over Harrison Smith. I think having Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris in the same defensive backfield is something where they get to play off each other, whereas Derwin James is playing with Rayshon Jenkins. So, I mean, just having another guy that you trust back there, not having to try to wear too many hats, I think obviously helps for guys like that. I would take Derwin over both those guys. Even Tyrann Mathieu, I love the way he plays. You can always find a spot for a player like him on a team, but if you're talking about true conventional safeties, I would, you know, it would be hard for me to not pick Derwin James in that situation as well, even though I love it. Jamal Adams, obviously supremely talented, very good football player. I have no problem with him being ahead of him. But, you know, it's a list of top 10, so obviously there's going to be some parsing here, and we have to see more from Derwin James. But for me, I just think that, I mean, if you're talking upside, Derwin James is maybe number one. I mean, he's, you know, there's not many younger, brighter stars coming up in the NFL right now that can do the things that he does well. And I just think it's always hard. Like Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons is I'm not going to take any disrespect, you know, to Justin Simmons just because he also plays a totally different position. He plays free safety. And that's when you're, you know, ranking safeties. I mean, cornerbacks, you know, there's one slot corner on the list, Chris Harris Jr., but it's left and right. It's not as big of a difference as strong in free safety. So I think the list is a little skewed right there just in general, just because it's hard to compare apples to oranges kind of a thing. But I get it. I get it. And, you know, some people need to see a little bit more. For me, I've seen enough. Derwin James is the real deal. And I don't mind putting my name on that. I don't think that's a very hot take at all. So let's get to the last list here, which is a list from Bucky Brooks from NFL.com giving his top five receivers in the NFL. And one guy that's perennially underrated as far as receiver rankings is Keenan Allen. I think it's because he doesn't score a ton of touchdowns, and he's not necessarily known for explosive plays. But the things he does well, he does really well. And the list here from Bucky Brooks is Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, and then Keenan Allen, rounding out the top five. But John, he does come ahead of, you know, some really, really good players. He's ahead of Odell Beckham Jr., Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, and Amari Cooper. Pro Football Network did a ranking system where they had him at 9th behind Godwin and Amari Cooper amongst other guys. I think this one is closer to right. I think he is right around number 5 as far as best receivers in the NFL.
Me personally, I would rank him ahead of Mike Evans, but that's about as far as
I think it's a toss up. Yeah, I think that's about
as high up as I would go, though. I don't think I'd put him in the top 3 at all.
Yeah, you don't have any problem with Hopkins or Julio Jones or Michael Thomas coming off 149 receptions. It's hard to argue with those.
Those guys have had way more production as far as stats go. But Keenan has his own way of being great, and that's being fast off the line and quick to a spot to catch the ball. Has great hands. Is he explosive? Is he going to be that guy that catches the ball and breaks out for a 40-yard gain? Probably not, but is he definitely going to get that
10-yard touchdown? He's playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Oh, video game controller. Love that play.
Why don't we see more of that, Keenan, please?
Oh, I know. Nowadays we see 10-yard catch, tries to make a juke move. Slip. But when it comes to those other guys, like Tyreek Hill is probably the only other guy that I would say you could compete with that top five.
Just because he has such an impact. Like, there's just not many receivers that impact the game more than Tyreek Hill because of that speed.
Just the speed alone. All you have to do is tell him to run in one direction and then stop.
And he's nasty after the catch, too. I mean, he has some moves in the open field.
Yeah, but if you just tell him, okay, here's your route. Just run in that direction and then stop. He has space. Just run full sprint for 20 yards and then stop. You have 10 yards of space right there because that corner is already running full speed trying to keep up.
And he's starting off probably 20 yards off the line of scrimmage to begin with.
Yeah, like there's nobody else in the league that you could really say makes a difference with that kind of speed. But as far as these other receivers that people rank above him, it makes no sense to me. Like, because you have one great year, you're better than Keenan. Keenan's been consistent. Even after injuries, lacerated spleen, torn ACL, he's still putting up these numbers. You know how hard it is to come out of two season-ending injuries and still be that good? This guy doesn't get any respect, but this list is showing respect for him, finally.
I think with Keenan Allen, if you want to teach somebody how to play the wide receiver position, you want to teach them how to run routes, you want to teach them how to get off the line, you want to teach them how to get separation and space without incredible speed, you're going to put on tape of Keenan Allen. That is who you're going to show people how to play the wide receiver position. He is that much of a technician.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, and receivers can just play so differently too. But the thing is not everybody can have Mike Evans or Julio Jones' size, right? But everybody can get a lot better at how they run routes. And the way he sinks his hips, the head fakes, the shimmies, the getting off the line of scrimmage, I mean, it's just picture perfect. And he's just able to do it so many times consistently in a row. Toe drag swag. And I honestly think that we'll see what happens this year. But I don't know if Phillip Rivers trusted Keenan enough on deep balls and plays like that, because he's one of those guys that, even though he's not open necessarily, like, we've seen him make some ridiculous catches, some ridiculous contested catches, but Phillip Rivers didn't always really like to throw him those balls down the field. So obviously what he does is usually the intermediate area, and he's really good over the middle of the field. But Keenan Allen getting a little respect here.
Or it was the deep corner route where instead of a jump ball, it was having Keenan turn towards the corner or the pylon and having Keenan make this ridiculous over-the-shoulder catch that very few players in the league can make. That was usually Phillip Rivers' go-to deep ball for Keenan.
For him, yeah, for sure. And we saw the one against the Rams over Eric Weddle. And I think anytime, you know, you're doing something with multiple different moves in or out, like, you know, that corner start in, then straight, then out, one of those things, like, it's always going to be impossible to cover him on those plays. It's hard enough to stick with him after the first cut. God forbid he does a double move, and maybe we'll see more of those this year. But obviously, we're going to talk about some lists that the Chargers get disrespected. We can end it on something positive, and Keenan Allen finally getting the respect he deserves as a top wide receiver in the NFL, a top five wide receiver in the NFL. And, you know, more people need to respect that, because what he's been able to do is just ridiculous. I mean, especially with the other mouths that have to get fed around him. He's not just the number one receiver with a slub number two and no pass-catching running backs and no tight end. I mean, he's having to share a lot of those targets, and he's making the most out of them. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Monday talking about a list ranking the most talented rosters in the NFL, and the Chargers coming right around the middle of the pack. So we'll be getting into that on Monday. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page of Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. A few voicemails. We probably also do a voicemail show on Monday. If you guys want to call into the show, the number is 323-524-7924, and every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. So we'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.